Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. You know me, I am your host, Bruce Marable, CEO and co-founder of Employee Cycle. And you know who we are, your friendly HR analytics dashboard. That's right. You know it sucks pulling spreadsheets from all your different HR systems and trying to turn that into one dashboard and present to your CFO, CEO, and whoever else. Well, no longer do you have to do that because Employee Cycle exists. We hook up to all your different HR systems to pull all your data into a beautiful, centralized, and real-time HR dashboard. But that's enough about me because we have a great guest with a very unique solution and we're going to have an awesome conversation. So I hope all of you help me welcome to the podcast studio, Eni Lim, founder of Honeybee. And today we're going to talk about how do you help your employees deal with their financial stress? Eni, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Yay!
Eni!
Thank you for having me. I feel so welcome. I'm really excited to be here and excited to tell you more about what we do at Honeybee.
That's perfect. So, don't know if you've ever listened to a previous episode before, but the question that I always ask in the beginning to provide some context is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Well, let's see. I kind of fell into this HR space, but a little bit about my background. And Honeybee is we have a holistic solution to financial wellness for employees. And how I fell into it, it was really, I was credit invisible in the US banking system about 10 years ago. I'm originally from Montreal, worked in Asia. And then when I moved to the US, I had a very difficult time building credit. And I actually built credit off a TJ Maxx rewards program card that took many years to do. And so I also built credit from, at the time, my husband. And when I got divorced, my credit was negatively impacted and I had to start looking for personal loan options. And finding access to affordable credit was absolutely impossible. There was really no solution. And I knew that there had to be a more innovative way to solve this problem today. That's really how I discovered what the payday industry was doing and the rates they were charging, which was absolutely obscene. And so long story short, I couldn't afford to live out after my divorce in the San Francisco Bay Area, although nobody can nowadays. I actually had to move back home with my parents. It was a humbling experience. But that's also how I reconnected with one of my co-founders, Benny, whose family used to own restaurants. They used to have employees. And every time an employee was faced with an emergency, they would ask his dad for money. And we realized that it was very common with a lot of different industries, SMBs, mid-market employers, that they were dealing with this when employees were financially struggling. They would help them and provide loans in-house. And managing that and collecting that money back was really difficult. And as you know, employees feel a lot like family when you work in a restaurant, food production, or any employer that understand, or HR that has to deal with their employees going through this financial struggle. So I didn't really, I didn't expect to fall into this place. I just knew that disrupting this payday industry, which is a $90 billion industry, was really important. And it had to be done through the employer channel because HR understands the pain point that their employees are going through. So that's my short answer for you, Bruce.
Got it. And I love it. You said something interesting I've never heard before. Did you say you were credit invisible?
Yes, that's right. So I worked about, 10 years prior to moving to the US and building credit in Canada. I had built credit in Asia when I worked out there, but none of that credit is transferable when you move to the US. And so you start from nothing. It's like you just knew you're invisible. And so it was, I applied for every credit card I could. I got denied. And even, you know, renting a place was hard. And it was just, so I just started building it from a store rewards program card, which is really crazy. And so it was difficult to build that credit. And so having it negatively impacted after something happened to you in your life was heartbreaking and really difficult to overcome that hurdle.
Interesting. And so after you realized that this was a huge problem, how do you say Honeybee is doing the best job of solving this problem?
Well, we're definitely solving this problem because we're starting to see employees or working America, 81% of Americans tend to trust financial information that comes from their employer versus any financial institution. And there's really that loyalty when an employee works for an employer. And so, and also we see 7 out of 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck and have less than $500 in savings. We saw it when the government shutdown happened earlier this year. Federal workers were lining up at food banks after missing a few paychecks. And so that's becoming in the forefront. Like, financial wellness is really important in the workplace because it does trickle in to productivity and health in the workplace. And so that's why our goal is to make sure we provide a financial safety net and one-on-one financial counseling for employees, because they are seeking that help. And when they start asking their employers for a pay advance or in-house loans, that is their last resort. And usually they'll go to a payday lender. And so, because they're too embarrassed to talk about it. So our goal is to make sure that we have that safety net and we have that alternative for employees.
So while we're on the topic, and as we were talking about payday loans, mm-hmm. think about the, I don't know if you ever watched John Oliver.
I did. That's the perfect, we should actually put that on our website.
You had a great segment. Mm-hmm. From your standpoint, because you live in this, thinking through every day as you're helping companies solve this problem, what's your biggest issue and your biggest beef with payday loan? You know, I saw an article today as I was preparing for the podcast where it says, young entrepreneur looking to take down the payday loan. And so well, how do you feel about that? And how do you think that you're going to do that?
That is my intention, is that we have to, payday industry is a $90 billion industry. This is one of the most powerful industry in the US today. And they're taking advantage of some of the most vulnerable families in America. We see it in like the Netflix episode in the Dirty Money. And it was like, I think episode 2. And then we talk about it all the time. There's so many articles about it, but nothing's really being done to solve the problem today. And so our responsibility is that we have to find a more, and the way to solve this problem is through innovation, through technology. And I honestly believe through the employer channel, because Americans need access. And so maybe we don't have to underwrite based on credit, which we don't do at Honeybee, but look at their job tenure, their salary per hour. We also look at vacation hours as a way to underwrite these loans and making sure that they never borrow more than they can afford. And so that's how we're solving this problem. And we're already seeing it working. Just some of the stories that we hear, we have an employee that is a medical assistant at a clinic in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she lives paycheck to paycheck. She's a single mom and she commutes about 2 hours to work every day. And one day her car breaks down and she had no money to repair that car. So she had to miss an entire week of work, and her employer had to cover shifts for her, and she couldn't tend to her patients. And so she was so desperate for cash, she went to a payday lender. So employers know what they're going through. That's why it's really important to solve this problem for their employees. And I've spoken to so many employers that have provided loans in-house, and it's becoming difficult for them, and they don't talk about it, but they want to help their employees the best way they can. And so our goal is just to remove that pain point for the employer and solve this problem for small, medium businesses to up to mid-market employers for their employees.
Got it. So one of the reasons why our listeners love to hear and stay on top of our podcast is because we try to make it as actionable as possible. Mm-hmm. But what I would like to do is for us to start off with, how does an HR person start providing financial wellness for their employees and get buy-in from mm-hmm. whoever the stakeholders are? Then we'll move into how to manage the process, some of the blind spots that we want to avoid, do's and don'ts of the process, and then we'll go into how to measure the ROI, since HR is trying to move into a very data-driven, ROI-driven model. Does that work for you?
Yes, absolutely.
So how does HR start providing this type of financial wellness or any financial wellness that you think is even worth doing in the first place? How do you get buy-in?
Our goal was to make it, because it's such an important information and topic to talk about and very new today, financial wellness in the workplace. We talk about physical wellness all the time, providing gym memberships to your employees and all of these different workout, but financial wellness is still very new to a lot of employers today. And a lot of employers think it's a sensitive topic to talk about. But that's why we wanted to make it as frictionless as possible. We are a standalone, like turnkey solution for employers and a SaaS platform that they can just log into. And so we don't do any payroll integration. So that usually requires a lengthy amount of time to integrate with, especially with small, medium businesses and mid-market. They really don't have the time or resources to do any integration. So we are a standalone platform. If you sign with us today, we can roll it out tomorrow. Our free program is early access to earn wages. And it's always offered through the employer. And it's free. And so if they want a more emergency, if they want emergency loans, which is a higher loan amount for the employees, and one-on-one financial counseling, that's a paid program. And so we're able to roll it out immediately. We can sign on an employer and just provide the materials for them to provide to their employees. And employees have a company code and they just log on and they can just get access to the program immediately. We don't follow any enrollment schedule. We are just that turnkey solution that we can provide to employers. And our goal was to make it as frictionless as possible.
So HR professionals are constantly being bombarded with free things.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that I have here is, I don't think there needs to be a lot of due diligence or discovery to find out if your employees are struggling, especially that you gave that most people don't have savings. Probably even a lot of the HR people don't have savings. So that's not even something that you need to wrap their head around and do a mindset shift. However, getting them to buy in,
mm-hmm.
getting the employees to buy in, because there's a lot of free services employees don't take advantage of.
Right.
So getting HR to be bought in, getting the employees to be bought in once the company actually takes on the service, and then getting the stakeholders to get bought in. There's three different things happening too. How do you help all three of these different entities, if you will, actually get buy-in?
That's a great question, Bruce. I think the reason that we wanted to provide like early access to earn wages for free is because it's really important for, like I mentioned, it's a new topic with a lot of employers. Financial wellness is very new. And so we wanted to make sure that they can roll it out as quickly as possible, then have to think about the budgeting and just try it out. And so what we've seen in the past is that they would try it out and most of the time they'd be really surprised at the amount of people that needed it. And so the freemium really comes in is that the Be Financial Coach, which is the one-on-one financial counseling, is also an addition because employers asked for it last year when we started launching it. And so why we decided to do that is because we have a customer service line that's both English and Spanish. I tend to listen to a lot of the customer service calls and I can hear the employees asking for help, whether it's to improve their credit, how they can start budgeting. And I wanted to make sure that we had a customized service for every employee in the company, whether you're in the production line or in the marketing or in finance, is everybody had different questions. And that's why that freemium model really comes in, is that is an additional, it's an additional program that we provide. And I saw the need when I started hearing the customer service calls. And so how we apply like our programs to the different stakeholders is that's why we offer that one free program first, because that is free, early access to earned wages up to $250 for all your employees, whether they're full-time, part-time, or seasonal. And it's a lot of time is to show the employers that there is a need. And if they know that there's a need there, then they can opt in for another paid program.
We have a wide variety of HR and people ops listeners from a bunch of different industries and company sizes. So I heard you earlier say a couple of times, small to medium sized businesses, but also enterprises. Is this thing that you see that can be scalable from anywhere from a small company to a very large company? And is this for specific industries, low income or mm-hmm. low wage versus high wage? How does this work?
That's a great question. We can cater to all of them, but our focus has really been on small, medium, and like mid-market employers up to 1,000 employees. Because what I saw, I led the sales effort last year, is that this market is completely being overlooked and they need solutions. And like the ones that have like, you know, enterprise companies started reaching out to us because they heard about us on maybe press that went out about what we were trying to do. And our goal has always been, let's focus on the small, medium businesses because they're the ones that need it most. They have, if you think about nonprofits is a huge clientele of ours. They have generally, they don't have the budget to cater to like, put aside for employee benefits a lot of times. So they have a huge need for it, which is why that free program was really important for them. And so we started focusing on those businesses first. And so it is definitely scalable because we have the technology to do it. But our initial focus has always been on SMBs and mid-market.
And when the HR leader is trying to get the employees excited about this, have you seen that this is something that the employees, once they hear about it, they just jump all over it, saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe my company provides this? Or is this something that you see HR, and maybe even help HR, communicate to the employees saying, hey, don't be afraid of this, or don't have too much pride, where if you really need help, use it?
Absolutely. I think we saw it when we started rolling out, the employees jumped on it right away because those employees knew that they needed. And the ones that were maybe a little bit shyer about accessing funds because, you know, they don't, a lot of times it is a very sensitive topic. That's why for me myself, I have gone through most of my life being fearful of budgeting and I haven't been able to save properly. And so it was really tough for me to talk about my finances until I went through this and started openly talking about like how to seek for help. And I think that's really important in our narrative is authenticity. And a lot of times, even our salespeople have no background in sales, but they're single moms and they've lived paycheck and paycheck their whole life, putting their kids through school. And they are our best ambassador. And that's why I put a testimonial video together to really have people speak about it. In particular, I heard some of the most amazing stories from women, and I wanted them to speak up about what their financial setbacks have been and how we've been able to help them. Because a big part of what we do is empowering people to take control of their financial lives. And so how we do it by that narrative is just through authenticity, because we definitely live in a time where people value that. And so that's how we've been staying focused with our narrative. And it's worked out pretty well in HR, with the employees. And that's our goal, to just make it okay to ask for help.
So now let's move into managing the process. So I've onboarded this thing. I got buy-in. People are using it. It's great. But now I'm trying to manage this and maybe even scale it as our company is growing. Mm-hmm. Different guide rails that I need to put in place as the HR leader to make sure that people aren't overutilizing it. Is it a such thing as overutilization of this? How does that work?
So we make it, all HR has to do is whenever an employee applies, they would just have to log into our platform and verify that that employee does work there. And we take care of everything else. We have a customer service line that employees tend to call to ask for help. And that's it. We want to make sure that HR doesn't have to get involved. And that was the whole purpose of all of this, is that, you know, now you don't have to get involved in their financial lives. You just have to make sure that you let us know if that employee works at the company and when they leave the company. And that's pretty much it. And so, yes, it is absolutely scalable. And that's our goal, is to make sure that we can provide that solution for HR as easy as possible. And if they have a larger workforce, a lot of times they tend to provide us with a file feed so that we can do that verification for them. So even less friction for HR. But, you know, we haven't had any issues with HR logging in and just verifying the process. A lot of HR feels empowered by knowing that their employees are getting access. And so they don't really know if employees are following up and, you know, if they're actually getting the loan. It is our responsibility to take care of that employee. And if HR has any questions, they just reach out to us.
Now, I'm sure there are a bunch of HR people listening to this thinking, even though I want to think of my employees as all the best people possible, there are times when people get into financial jams and situations where you might just try to take advantage of the system. And so is there a way to keep, or I'm assuming you've already thought about this and helped HR and their organizations from not being liable or not getting into a crazy situation where their employees are overusing it or using it too much or to the point where they become dependent on this? Is that even possible based off the way that you provide the loans?
Well, that's why we're very transparent about what we provide to the employees. And one important thing for employers or HR to understand is that if they did not have access to this, they would go somewhere else. And that somewhere else tend to be a payday lender. And that payday lender can charge up to 1,000% in interest. We've actually seen it. We've heard the stories. We've heard employers where employees got stuck in a jam and went to a payday. And then all of a sudden they couldn't pay back. Collection agencies were calling their employer. So one important thing to understand is that I think they need that safety net, right? They need to use it. They need to get access to an alternative, because if they don't have access to this, we're a certified benefit corporation, making sure that impact and transparency is really core to what we do, because I've been in those shoes before and otherwise they would go somewhere else. So I think that's really important, is that I don't think there is such a thing as like overutilization, and we're very careful with employees. That's why we provide that financial counseling, is that we want to make sure that they're on the right track, right? They're not just taking money out for the sake of taking money out. And that's why we have that additional program, and we can hear it when they're asking questions with our customer service line. So that's why we're more of a holistic solution versus than just providing money.
Is there a minimum or a maximum of what an employee can make to do this? And I'm really thinking about the maximum. So let's just say if somebody makes a couple hundred thousand dollars, right? They literally just want to use this as a quick loan for something. I don't know. You want to do a crazy weekend in Vegas or whatever you want to do. Who knows? But are there guide rails around that too? Is it specifically just for someone in need and they're in the jam and they really need the money? Or is it literally, I just need the loan. I can do whatever I want as long as I pay it back based off of however you have the employees pay the money back?
Yeah. So we have our first program, which is the free program, right? Which is up to $250, no credit required for all employees, depending, it doesn't matter what wage you're making. And then we'll know like it's up to 250. And so that's a free program. But then the ones that are a larger loan size, which is going to be a paid program, that's more of an emergency loan. That's up to $1,000 for employees. And that's what we've seen most of the time, is the car repair that they need is usually roughly about $500. And so that's usually covered by the employer. And there's no interest. And I think our goal was to make sure there's no interest for the employee itself. And that this is a solution that's provided for their employers, because their employers care. And that's tied into our financial counseling. So it's important for the emergency loan and the financial counseling to go together. And that's a paid program by the employers. And so, yes, there is a maximum, and it usually generally is up to $1,000, because we don't provide like larger loan sizes. We want to make sure that this is something they can pay back accordingly. And providing larger loan sizes is not the way to solve the problem.
Got it. And this may be a silly question, because helping your employees deal with their financial stress just makes sense. But there are still a lot of HR leaders out there that have to justify any program in any amount of time that they're going to take away from something else to do anything that's new, especially mm-hmm. in an area that hasn't been well established, like financial wellness. So for those who are in that situation, how do they start to talk about measuring the ROI for this, or even just to see if it's successful for themselves?
Yeah, I think that's why we do offer that free program first, right? Because we, like, just like you, we also have a dashboard where they can figure out like how many employees are, you know, taking out a loan, or it's all aggregated data. And usually we'll tell them like which department they're from. So they have a better idea, similar to your dashboard, but on Employee Cycle, is that we provide more of a financial view, high level overview for employers, so that they can see what's happening in the workforce and how much the employees are saving instead of going to a payday lender. So we do provide that social impact report on our dashboard, so that they know if this is a program and they want to invest in. And most of the time, almost 100% of the time, it is absolutely vital to invest in financial wellness for your employees, because it will trickle into the workplace. And 7 out of 10 Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have less than $500 in savings. So that is the majority of America. And that's why it's important to provide financial wellness. And for employers that are not sure because it's new, that's why we provide that dashboard also, to have a high level overview of financial wellness in their workplace.
Got it. That was awesome. So now I'm going to go to my favorite part of the episode, which I like to call Real, the Random, and the Ridiculous.
I love it already.
All right. So the real question, do you eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I love bread pudding. I used to work at a golf course where every time they had leftover bread pudding from weddings, I would just scarf on it. I think I love the thicker, softer, more sauce there is, the better it is for me.
Oh, see, I knew the conversation we had before we started the podcast, I knew I liked you, but now you're best friends.
I absolutely love it.
For sure. All right. Random question. What's your favorite sound?
My favorite sound is the sound of the fountains. I just love the relaxing sound of like water, waves, fountains. That's my absolute favorite. It's meditative for me.
Nice. And then last question, ridiculous one. What's a ridiculous reason that you've ever heard a company not want to use Honeybee?
I think the most ridiculous ones are the ones they say, we pay our employees enough, they don't need access to this. So that, for me, and sometimes we talk to hotels, and I won't say any names, and they'll be like, we don't need this. Maybe you should go to X hotel down the street. I think that's a lack of empathy in the workplace. And that's the most ridiculous ones I've heard.
I love it. That does sound ridiculous. We all know that most people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely.
Well, Annie, you have been an amazing podcast guest. Thank you so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast.
Woo! Thanks for having me.
So where can people find you and Honeybee online?
Well, you can access our website at meethoneybee.com. That's M-E-E-T, honeybee, one word, .com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for everyone listening. If you also enjoy this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Also, if you aren't a regular listener, but you love this episode and everything that Annie is doing to help us all be able to be more financially able to do all the things you want to do, then please subscribe to our Cycle Podcast on whatever podcast player you listen to. And tell all your HR friends about this podcast, because we think it's awesome. But lastly, I'll leave you with this. As always, all you HR and PeopleOps leaders out there, please remember to continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's luxepodcasts.com.